This is a Shift Podcast Network production.
Welcome to Here and Back Again. I'm David O'Callaghan, and this is a podcast looking at all things releasing weekly on streaming and on cinemas, with your usual pop culture bits thrown in as his voice breaks. Well, I do hope for your sake that you managed to at least binge a few of last week's shows. Say Nothing was fantastic. Cross, while not amazing, was decent enough. And the Tyson versus Paul fight was an absolute snooze fest. And yes, a hugely successful gimmick for Netflix. But none of that matters anymore, because there's no letting up this week with regards to viewing content, both on streaming and in particular at cinemas. Because yes, Wicked finally makes it to the big screen as one half of the Glicked phenomenon, going head-to-head worldwide at cinemas with Gladiator 2. While it's not a full-on Barbenheimer showdown, it's still a fun game of counter-programming. Therefore, that is where we shall head first this week, cinema. So, shall we begin?
Unlimited.
You're green.
I am.
Together we're unlimited.
She had her secrets.
Absolutely remarkable.
There is no fight we cannot win. Just you and I defying gravity.
Why is it you're always causing some sort of commotion?
I don't cause commotions, I am one. Some of us are just different.
After two decades as one of the most enduring musicals on the stage and based on the best-selling novel by Gregory Maguire, Wicked is the untold story of the Witches of Oz, which stars Cynthia Erivo as Elphaba and Ariana Grande as Galinda. Directed by the highly acclaimed filmmaker John M. Chu, who did Crazy Rich Asians, In the Heights, and yes, Step Up Tree. Oh, what a gem. Please note, this is the first chapter of a two-parter, with Wicked Part 2 scheduled to arrive in theatres on November 26th, 2025. First things first, I am, hands up, a Wicked freak. It's one of my favourite musicals. I've seen it 5 times, New York twice, London once, and Dublin twice. And every time I cannot stop myself being taken away, and yes, blubbing profusely, just out of nowhere, it always hits me. So while I was pretty excited by the movie, I was still pretty nervous. Well, holy moly, I am here to tell you that I needn't have worried, because this is a 5-star stunner. An absolute treat of a cinematic experience. It looks gorgeous with its beautiful cinematography, its fantastic visual effects, but more importantly, it has loads of practical effects, like the whole of Oz and the Shiz University are actually built, and the train, they're all real. None of that CGI crap. So while there are visual effects, like flying monkeys and stuff, there's a lot of practical effects, which I really appreciated, and the sets and costumes are excellento. And it also gives us two leads that are unbelievably perfect for their roles. Erivo and Grande are such a wonderful pair. Their singing is sublime and, yes, brought me the joy I've experienced at the stage show, and indeed led to me being in a hot mess wailing down the back of the press screening. It was not a pretty sight. I had to wait till everybody left. Don't turn on those lights! Shiz University again gives off strong Hogwarts vibes, while the Emerald City itself, to me, feels like a cheerier version of the capital from The Hunger Games. The movie also stars Jeff Goldblum as the wizard, who does a lot of Jeff Goldblum stuff and is fine. Wait, if the Emerald City is the capital, does that mean the wizard is President Snow? Anyways, Jonathan Bailey and Michelle Yeoh are both fantastic and add plenty to the whole jamboree. Bailey especially gives off strong Flynn from Tangled Smolder vibes. But as I said, ultimately, this is all about the witches who, as I mentioned, are box office beyond belief. Give them awards. Although, they're putting Cynthia into Best Actress, and then Category Fraud. I call Category Fraud. They're putting Ariana into supporting, which is a bit of a joke. Same as they're doing with Zoe Saldana, actually, for Emilia Perez into supporting. Like, come on, lads. Stop messing. Anyways, speaking of box office, I predict this is going to be a smash hit, and I wouldn't be too shocked to see it crack the $1 billion worldwide. In fact, its box office could be unlimited. Ho-ho! As I said, I fully expect the Oscars and award season lovies to fall in love, and this will surprise a lot of people with the number of nominations it's going to get. In fact, as a cinematic musical, I haven't had this much fun and feelings at a screening since The Greatest Showman. And a huge part of that movie's box office was its repeat viewing by fans, and also its sing-along versions, which hopefully will be lined up pretty soon, because now that will be a fun day out. At 2 hours and 40 minutes, this first part is almost as long as the complete stage show itself. But fear not, there's no padding here. In fact, it allows the story of Elphaba, Galinda and Oz to develop in a clearer, more understandable form, actually, than the stage show. So yes, if you know Wicked, you will not be disappointed. In fact, you will probably be overwhelmed. However, for those who have no idea what the hell is going on, what a treat you're in for. A fascinating spin on The Wizard of Oz. It will have you questioning everything you thought you knew. The world building is sensational, and it's quite a dense plot. There's also a lot of little hidden nuggets and, you know, secret doors for The Wizard of Oz movie. And but they play an important part in the movie. So that's Wicked Part 1. And yes, it ends obviously at the intermission you would know from the show, with one of the greatest showstoppers ever. Right, I'm off to see it again and again and again. That's Wicked Part 1, which is now in cinemas.
Welcome in Teddyland to the final of the Housewives of the Year.
Over 1,000 entries for the competition this year.
Judged on their abilities to budget effectively and to prepare a simple meal.
This is Bernie's beef. Just have it.
I told you we met some fascinating and attractive and lovely and talented women around this country this year.
It sounds alien now to the younger people. Housewife. But it was huge.
Housewife of the Year tells the story of Ireland's treatment of women through the prism of a unique, surreal, live, televised competition that, if you weren't around to have known it was a real thing, has to be seen to be believed, where a generation of Irish women competed in front of a live audience for the title of Housewife of the Year. What? Run from 1969 to 1995. What the hell? And shown live on RTE from 1982... Women all over Ireland competed to win this competition that celebrated cookery, nurturing and basic household management skills. Oh, sweet Lord. Directed by Ciarán Cassidy, who gave us the fantastic Jihad Jane, this poignant, moving and fascinating documentary is one of the year's best. As the former contestants are interviewed, similar to the recent Mary Robinson documentary, themes of the thin line that Ireland had between church, politics and the patriarchy are definitely showing, as divorce, contraception, the Magdalene laundries and financial vulnerabilities lurk in the shadows of everything you see. For those who thought Father Ted's Lovely Girls competition was a very funny joke, well, the truth is even freakier. Uncle Gabo, who hosted the event, doesn't exactly cover himself in glory, and anyone saying, well, that's how it was back then, I'm sorry, Gabo was untouchable and ran RTE with an iron fist and could have easily shouted sketch at any time, like so many others, including the contestants themselves, who indeed did. I cannot recommend this enough, both as a study of Irish society and the role of women in the 70s and 80s, and as a pure piece of gripping and brilliant documentary filmmaking. Again, there's nothing I've seen better this year. Most definitely worth your time. Housewife of the Year is now in cinemas.
My name's Stella. Since I was little, it's been my dream to fly Santa's sleigh.
Only one reindeer at a time can become a member of the forces.
This is what it's all about.
Go!
You don't stand a chance.
You can do it! Go! Go!
Where's the sleigh?
It's gone!
Without the sleigh, there is no Christmas.
What?
Oh no!
Magic Reindeer Saving Santa's Sleigh is the third movie in the Nico the Reindeer trilogy, but most importantly, it's a standalone seasonal movie that doesn't need any viewing of the previous installments. Christmas is on the horizon, and it looks like it's going to be the best one yet for Nico the Reindeer as he sets off to fulfill his biggest dream, taking his place next to his father on Santa's flying forces. However, he faces unexpected competition from Stella, a mysterious new challenger. Then, yes, one night things go from bad to worse. Oh my god! When Santa's sleigh is stolen, now it's down to Nico, joined by friends old and new, to venture to the frozen north on a daring mission to save the holidays. Oh my lord! Okay, I'm not gonna lie. I went into this one with quite low expectations. The poster and title of the movie didn't exactly have me chomping at the bit. But ever the professional, I thought I'd struggle on and for you, I'd do what was needed to be done. So, if you have got smallies out there, the good news is this is the perfect way to start their Christmas season in style. Extremely charming, loads of fun, quite heartwarming. It's not going to break the originality bank, but I had a lovely time. The characters and action sequences were great. It's got a lot of feel-good factor. The feel-good factor was an overdrive. And while lukewarm villains do exist, this is a movie aimed at quite young kids, so its message is much more beige and kind of like a warm hug. So yes, call me old-fashioned, call me a softie, call me a promoter of animated movies with a strong Irish background. But as you know from before, just because it's Irish doesn't mean it gets a pass from me. This one has more charm and wit in its little hoof than all of Red One combined. So that's Magic Reindeer Saving Santa's Sleigh, which is now in cinemas. A sneaky little distracting treat that will have the kids pumped and ready for the madness of the season ahead. Or at least until Moana 2 arrives. And there you go. That is your cinema. What did I tell you? Holy moly. All the treats. All the colours of the rainbow. Love it, love it, love it. Right, we're going to keep going because holy crap. Streaming is not going light this week. They must be prepping for Thanksgiving. Chaos. Absolute chaos. So much to watch. Let's do this.
My mum sent me away.
She did it to keep you safe.
Your son did not arrive at his destination.
You're responsible for his safety.
Why can't you tell me? Where's my boy?
This is for all the parents whose children have been evacuated. And for my boy, George.
Blitz on Apple TV Plus is a historical war drama film written, produced and directed by Steve McQueen, and which stars Saoirse Ronan, Elliot Heffernan in his film debut, along with Harris Dickinson, Benjamin Clementine, Katty Burke, Paul Weller, yes, that Paul Weller, and Stephen Graham. This is McQueen's first narrative feature since 2018's Widows and is set in England during World War II. When a London mother sends her 9-year-old son to live in safety away from the Blitz in the countryside, the child becomes determined to find his way back home, an adventure that comes with many, many perils. This is a pretty decent big-hitting streaming movie that arrives with a lot of Oscar buzz behind it. I saw it in the cinema and my immediate feelings were, yeah, despite enjoying it, I didn't truly feel it was a cinematic experience. However, I did then think, do you know what it'd be? It would most definitely be a worthy streaming movie for your couch, especially if you're in the mood for some old school war drama. Chalks away! As it's told through the eyes of young George, I suppose you could compare it to, say, Hope and Glory or something like that. And while, as I said, it's enjoyable enough, it's not going to blow your mind. Saoirse, as always, is great and newcomer George is fine, but I'd be very surprised if it went on an awards run. McQueen brings some extremely interesting angles to the classic war drama setup and openly deals with the racism of the time in Britain that rarely gets mentioned in such movies. So while it never quite reaches the heights we would expect from McQueen, it's still a pretty big scale and enjoyable movie that is now available, yes, from the comfort of your couch, so why wouldn't you? That is Blitz, which is now on Apple TV+.
Everyone stop! The mouse just escaped and I'd only just got her pregnant.
Dr. Edwards, Jean Purdy, I'm here at the lab manager's post.
8 a.m, don't be late. We have an obstetrician to catch.
Mr. Steptoe will be an excellent member of our team.
This team, which you've not yet explained to me.
Oh, we're going to help make babies. I've shocked you.
Making babies in test tubes.
You truly believe you can do that?
We're making the impossible possible. We are. You'll see.
Joy on Netflix is a fictionalized retelling of the true story of the world's first test tube baby born in England in 1978. It stars Bill Nighy, Thomasin McKenzie and James Norton. Three trailblazers, a young nurse, a visionary scientist and an innovative surgeon face opposition from the church, state, media and medical establishment in their pursuit of the world's first test tube baby, Louise Joy Brown. It is directed by Ben Taylor, who did Sex Education and Catastrophe, and is written by Jack Thorne. Another streaming movie which I'd best describe as a cozy retelling of this fascinating and groundbreaking IVF breakthrough. It's an engaging watch, especially if you weren't fully aware of the backstory of the whole thing. The three leads are fine, however it is Mackenzie who is the standout amongst them. Compelling enough, and again available from the safety of her couch, worth a nose, that's Joy, which is now on Netflix.
That piano is the story of our whole family. Now, Granddaddy, he carved all of this, but everything he made, Mr. Sutter owned, because he owned him. Boy, Charles talked about that piano all the time. And long as Sutter had it, he had us. And that's why Bernice ain't gonna sell that piano.
Denzel Washington completes a trilogy of bringing August Wilson plays to this big and small screen this week with The Piano Lesson on Netflix. First Fences, then Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. Denzel now produces this one while his son Malcolm Washington makes his directorial debut with this adaptation of Wilson's Pulitzer Prize winning 1987 play. Completing the family affair of it all, Malcolm's brother John David Washington stars along with Danielle Deadwyler, Samuel L. Jackson and Ray Fisher. This one is set in 1936 Pittsburgh and finds a family divided over the fate of a damaged heirloom piano as one brother wants to sell it to build their fortune while his sister wants to hold on to their legacy as their uncle tries to mediate. As awards season approaches, this is another hotly tipped movie and I'm here to say, is it? Is it really? It'll possibly get a shout out in some categories, but its chances of victory are quite slim. This continues the long-worn Hollywood tradition of stage plays being made into movies and just being that stage play on a big screen, or as the case here, on a small screen. The key ingredients are there. Everyone is overacting and overdoing their lines in a classic chewing up scenery kind of way, even including those overlong pauses which really don't suit the format. It's not all set in one room, and in those brief harrowing flashbacks, that is where you are removed from the stage vibe, but those are few and far between. Everyone is definitely acting, just in case you didn't notice. Everyone is shouting a lot. It's quite powerful in parts, but ultimately, it's just fine. Again, because it's there for you on the couch, it's definitely worth a watch. But should you rush out and watch it? That depends on your love of theatre on the small screen. Anyway, that is The Piano Lesson, which is now streaming on Netflix.
Police are investigating a missing woman. The abduction may be related to reports of a gang war.
Whoa. Who is that?
She looks Thai.
Dude, she's clearly Korean. Know your Asians.
Holy, what is she doing here?
Willis Wu.
You know my name?
Pretend to take my order.
Welcome to the Golden Palace. How may I help you?
Just act normal.
Welcome to the Golden Palace.
I need your help.
Interior Chinatown is on Disney Plus and is a new action comedy series created by showrunner Charles Yu, based on his novel of the same name. The series stars Jimmy O. Young as Willis Wu, an actor playing an unnamed background character on a police procedural show, who stumbles into a larger real-life story involving a criminal conspiracy in Chinatown and his family's secret history. I've watched the first episode of this and it took me a while to get my head out of it. So he's actually a self-aware kind of character in a TV show. So we're watching a TV show, but he's aware, but not aware that he's in a TV show, but we are aware. It's a tight concept. It's pretty meta. And my brain was trying to hold on to, what's happening now? Is it good? I'll keep going. In fairness, the first episode was directed by Taika Waititi. And again, it was fine. There was some action. The story was a bit muddled. It also stars Ronnie Chang, Chloe Bennett and Lisa Gilroy. There's 10 episodes. I'm going to keep going for now. I don't know if I'm going to, fully commit, but maybe it'll improve. It's just, I Yeah, it's a very slightly confusing setup, but maybe it'll come good in the end. Anyway, with that positive recommendation, Interior Chinatown is now on Disney Plus. I'll figure it out someday.
Being one of us means holding the key to any door worth entering. It's about getting what we want. And trust me, I always get what I want.
Dear sister?
Step, sister. 'Cause it's a bittersweet symphony, this life. We find ourselves a little bit on the line this year because of the whole unfortunate hazing injury. Try to make ends meet, your slave to money, then you die. Annie Grover is the key. You know what they're not gonna do? Kick the vice president's daughter's sorority off campus.
She's not even rich because her dad's on like a government salary.
There are more important things than money, Cece.
Since when?
Cruel Intentions is Prime Video's new series adaptation of the 1999 film of the same name, which itself was another adaptation of the 18th century novel Les Liaisons Dangereuses. Set at an elite Washington, D.C. area college in the present day, where two ruthless step-siblings battle for power in the cutthroat social hierarchy of the college campus house system, Sean Patrick Thomas returns from the original film as a different character, along with Sarah Catherine Hook, Zach Burgess and Savannah Lee Smith. It's going to take a lot to live up to Sarah Michelle Gellar, Ryan Phillippe and Reese Witherspoon and that iconic soundtrack, which indeed was a sensation at the time. Is it going to be trashy? Hell yes. Is it going to have teen angst and the sexy times of the original? Surely. Will the soundtrack be as iconic? Possibly not. Will I be bailing in? Hell yeah. All 8 episodes stream from today. That is Cruel Intentions 2024, I suppose. The series, which is now on Prime Video.
I'm giving you a challenge. Find something that excites you.
It's a good challenge. I accept. Investigative assistant.
This necklace, my client's family heirloom, has gone missing at Pacific View Retirement Community.
You would pretend to be a new resident.
You're interested in a tour?
We are.
And be my source.
A man on the inside. I'm in.
Got your phone? Camera glasses? Recorder? Are you just tapping different parts of your body?
Yes. I left everything in my room. I'm just so excited. I'll be right back.
Showrunner Mike Schur reunites with his Good Place star Ted Danson for a new comedy series adapted from the Oscar-nominated 2020 documentary The Mole Agent. A retired professor gets a new lease on life when a private investigator hires him to go undercover inside a San Francisco retirement home. And then it all, yes, kicks off. In this case, Danson's Charles is a widower who attempts to unravel the mystery of a stolen family heirloom and finds an unexpected new chapter in his life in the process. Cute, funny, half-hour bursts of cozy comedy. Ah, what's not to love? That's A Man on the Inside, which has all its 8 episodes now up on Netflix.
Let's get started. Christmas at the Rhythm Room used to be a tradition around here.
But now it's on life support.
Whoa!
Hole in the wall with too many holes in the walls.
Oh! A leak!
There's gotta be a way to get people excited about this place again.
Don't you think male strippers are the answer?
Male Dance Review.
Men taking their clothes off?
It's men taking their shirts off.
Oh, it's a different story then.
Really?
No!
If you're looking for something less cozy and a bit more steamy, woohoo! Well, have we got a treat for you? Because yes, the streamers keep banging that Christmas drum and here we go, The Merry Gentlemen on Netflix. Oh my God, it's not a sequel or to be confused with Michael Keaton's suicidal assassin movie, The Merry Gentlemen from 2008. This is in fact Magic Mike meets the full Monty with a dash of Christmas Coyote Ugly. You with me? Hell yes! In this one, Ashley, played here by Britt Robertson, needs to save the Rhythm Room, her parents' small-town performing arts venue. She was a former big city dancer, and now she's decided to stage an all-male Christmas-themed revue. Oh yeah! Leading those dancers, and the big draw for a lot of folks, is the presence of One Tree Hill's Chad Michael Murray, who plays Luke and, shall we say, has aged like a most wonderful fine wine. Oh, Chad, 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 Chad. Quality tunage, sweaty topless abs, along with hot and steamy dance routines, means that this is destined to melt the hearts of those legions of Christmas movie obsessives. I expect this one to be a smash hit for the streamer. Why wouldn't it? That's The Merry Gentlemen, which is now on Netflix.
Welcome to Lumbria. My mom and dad were king and queen. Woohoo! Until a dark spell was cast upon them.
We can't keep this secret much longer. Your kingdom needs a real ruler.
I know. Dad, put him down.
Mom? I just really miss you both.
If they don't change back soon, dark magic will spread through the kingdom and you will never get your parents back.
Spellbound on Netflix was originally due to be an animated theatrical release, scheduled for 2019, then an Apple TV original with a different title, but is now the second animated feature after Luck from the John Lasseter-run studio Skydance Animation. The story is set in Lumbria, a world of magic where a young girl named Elien must break a spell that has split her kingdom in two and transformed her parents into monsters. This musical fantasy adventure features the voices of Rachel Zegler, Nicole Kidman, Javier Bardem, Nathan Lane, John Lithgow, Titus Burgess and Jennifer Lewis. Vicky Jensen, who did Shrek, directs, while the musical element has some pretty decent calibre too in the form of Alan Menken, who did The Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast. So yes, a wee sneaky original cracker for the smallies out there from Netflix and Skydance. I ain't gonna lie, I'll defo be giving this one a bash. That is Spellbound, which is now on Netflix. And over on Apple TV Plus, Bread and Roses is a new documentary from Sari Mani, which was a huge hit at Cannes in 2023. Produced by Jennifer Lawrence and Malala, it shines a light on the plight of women in Afghanistan in the wake of America's withdrawal from the region in 2021 and the fall of Kabul to the Taliban. It follows three Afghani women in real time as they fight to recover the autonomy they gained in recent decades, from former government employees to a successful dentist. This undercover footage follows the women on their new restricted and confined roles. A tough, harrowing watch, but also a moving and absolutely must watch. That is Bread and Roses, which is now on Apple TV Plus.
Buying new stuff feels great, right? The problem is that every year we're consuming more, producing more, and there's a flip side to that that no one wants you to see.
I was president of the Adidas brand.
I started at Apple.
I worked at Amazon for 15 years. It's a highly refined science to get you to buy stuff.
They know you. Like, we know you.
We were constantly developing new ways to get you to buy. Influencing your behavior in subtle ways that you'd never even realize.
Jumping forward in time, because that's how we rock in the... podcasting world. I'm just back from a cycle around the park and I'm just telling you, I am absolutely feckin' freezing. It's Baltic, my feet. I don't think I have feet anymore. It's just stumps. It's just, I cannot. The heat is on, but it's not working. It's not working well. I need to pump it up. Anyway, there you go. Just an insider, some insider trading there. Right. Bye now. The shopping, see, I'm dying. This is what healthy things do to me. By now, The Shopping Conspiracy on Netflix is a new documentary where the architects of our collective desire for endless consumption reveal how corporations are hell-bent on increasing profits, how they convince unsuspecting consumers time and time again to part with their money, and what happens when all of our discarded purchases make their way to landfills. Commentators who witness the inner workings of corporations from Amazon to Apple sit down to talk about the unsavory practices their former employees are still using. Directed by Emmy-winning writer and filmmaker Nick Stacey, this looks like an absolutely cracking documentary, which obviously is dropping just in time for us to prep ourselves ahead of the Black Friday insanity. Maybe we'll watch this and think, no, do you know what? No, not this year, my friend. Not this year. But wait, is that 70% off something we didn't even know we needed or wanted? Is it? Feck it, I'll just buy that. Nothing else, just that. That's Buy Now, The Shopping Conspiracy, which is now on Netflix. Also out this week is Our Oceans on Netflix, which sees Barack Obama going all David Attenborough as he narrates a 5-part look at the planet's lifeblood, oceans, which hide countless mysteries from the balmy Indian waters and fiery Atlantic depths to the ring of fire encircled Pacific and the frigid southern and Arctic seas. Attempting to discover the stories beneath the surface of the water, this stunning nature documentary series, which explores each of the Earth's 5 oceans, is one for those who love their nature docs with a dash of Obama's dulcet tones. Ah, yes, beautiful times, beautiful times. So that is Our Oceans, which is now on Netflix. And also on Netflix, in Rhythm and Flow Season 2, aspiring rappers compete in battles, pen new tracks and deliver hopefully unforgettable performances to impress all-star judges for a chance to win $250,000. This season lands with a new panel of judges featuring DJ Khaled, Ludacris and Latto. If that's your kind of jam, then Rhythm and Flow Season 2 is now on Netflix.
Hi, my name is Melody Brooks, and I have cerebral palsy. Go ahead and stare. It's 2002. You've never seen a girl in a wheelchair who doesn't talk before? Here's a list of things I'll never get used to. Butts in my face because people don't see me. Staircases, people who say hi but sound so sad. Obviously, this isn't my voice. I can't talk. And I can sound like whoever I want. So I picked Jennifer Aniston.
Out of My Mind on Disney Plus is a coming-of-age drama based on the 2010 novel of the same name by Sharon M. Draper. Melody Brooks is navigating sixth grade as a non-verbal wheelchair user who has cerebral palsy. With the help of some assistive technology and her devoted allies, Melody shows that what she has to say is more important than how she says it. The film stars Phoebe Ray Taylor in her screen debut and Jennifer Aniston as Melody's inner voice. Landing with some pretty decent early reviews, that's Out of My Mind, which is now on Disney+. And finally on streaming this week in the non-English section of the catalogue, Zombieverse, the absolutely cray-cray South Korean reality show, returns to Netflix for a second season. The setup is that a zombie virus outbreak has run amok in Korea, and a group of actors, K-pop stars, influencers, etc. must outwit the undead in the face of challenging quests and come out alive. While the first season wasn't exactly everything we hoped for, once you got over the fact of how scripted it was and appreciated the insane effort has been put into it, it kind of grew on us. It was quite fun to watch how the contestants, who were fairly whatevs at the start, slowly grew in their belief and intensity of almost believing that this was an actual zombie apocalypse. In fairness, as I mentioned here before, having done the zombie run at San Diego Comic-Con, what starts out as a laugh gets quite a bit serious oh so quickly when the zombie hordes rock up. This time the players have to create an anti-zombies serum while transporting an infected person to hospital. That's Zombieverse Season 2, which is now on Netflix. Coming from Spain, we have 900 Days Without Annabelle on Netflix, which is a new Spanish documentary series which features never-before-heard testimony about a case that became the longest kidnapping in the history of Spain, the abduction of the young woman Annabelle Segura. Between 1993 and 1995, 14 phone calls occurred between the kidnappers and the negotiator, representing her family, to release Annabelle. Those conversations are coming to light in their entirety for the first time now, when 30 years have passed since the resolution of the case. That's 900 Days Without Annabelle, which is on Netflix. If heist movies and high-speed motorbike chases are your thang, then Netflix France has you covered with GT Max. When a notorious gang of bikers recruits her brother for a heist, a former motocross champion must face her deepest fears to keep her family safe. Heists, high-speed chases, also French, and all in under 1 hour and 40 minutes. Oh, ho, ho, you had me at bonjour. That's GT Max, which is now on Netflix. Speaking of motorbikes and high-octane action, for anime lovers out there, Tokyo Override on Netflix is a new animated series set in future Tokyo, where a teenage orphan hacker gets embroiled in a murder case connected to a drug ring after assisting outcast bikers, revealing the city's dark underbelly beneath its utopian facade. Does what it says on the tin, with some Speed Racer meets Torque vibes. That's Tokyo Override, which is now on Netflix. And finally on streaming this week, for those fans of Italian YA out there, Adoration on Netflix should scratch that itch. When a 16-year-old girl vanishes, secrets come to light and disrupt a small community as her friends and family try to recreate her last movements. Throw in some Italian sexy times and some teen angst, and well, what more is there to ask for? That's Adoration, which is now on Netflix. And there you go. That is your movies. That is your streaming. Holy moly. Right, not even taking a breath. Moving on, let's take a quick look at three things we noticed in pop culture this week. First up, yes, it's another week and it's another addition to the new Christopher Nolan movie. I feel like every week we've been getting another top-tier actor added to the cast, despite not knowing what the hell it's about. We've had Matt Damon, Anne Hathaway, Tom Holland, Lupita Nyong'o and Zendaya. Well, here we go again, because according to the Hollywood Trades this week, Tenet star Robert Pattinson looks like he is also set to join this stellar cast. Woohoo! As I said, still no idea what the hell it's about, but a genre movie set in possibly the 1920s seems to be the favourite vibe right now. And it may be miles away, but hey, a new Nolan movie, it's always worth talking about. It was a big year for literary adaptations, especially those aimed at women. Colleen Hoover and It Ends With Us was a massive success at the box office, while Anne Hathaway and director Michael Showalter gave us Prime Video's extremely popular, but I'm going to say it, not sexy times enough, The Idea of You, based on Robin Lee's best-selling novel. Well, those two worlds will now collide as Hathaway is re-teaming with Showalter to film Colleen Hoover's Verity for Amazon MGM Studios. The story follows a struggling writer who is on the brink of financial ruin when she accepts the job offer of a lifetime. Jeremy Crawford, husband of the best-selling author Verity Crawford, played here by Hathaway, has hired Ashley to complete the remaining books in a successful series that his wife is unable to finish after a mysterious accident. Upon arrival at the lavish Crawford estate, Ashley slowly learns that things are not exactly as they seem with the discovery of a secret, unfinished manuscript that may divulge chilling admissions about the family's past. Oh yeah. No word yet as to who will play Ashley, but I'm pretty sure a lot of agents will be pleading for a casting call for their star clients for this possible juggernaut. So that is Verity, Colleen Hoover and Anne Hathaway. And finally, for fans of Denzel Washington and his Equalizer movies, I love them. I do love them, and particularly the last one set in Italy was quite awesome. The good news is that he has agreed to come back for two more installments in the series. Denzel revealed that yes, he is back on board for parts 4 and 5, stating, "They're for the people. They want me to go get the bad guys. We can't get them, so you go get them." And I say, "Okay, I'll go get them. Just wait right there. I'll be right back." Whether or not one of these will be an origin story for Robert McCall, as hinted at by director Antoine Fuqua, or whether that'll be actually a 6th movie, we will have to wait and see. But for now, Equalizer 4 and 5 with Denzel, oh yeah, are back on board. And even though it's not an Equalizer movie, Man on Fire, I feel like I need to watch Man on Fire again because I did love that. Anyway, that's your three things. That is us. What a week of content. And a bit of goss. Hopefully all that will keep you distracted and off the streets. But for now, this is David O'Callaghan for the Here and Back Again podcast, wishing you all the best. And until next week, stay safe. And boy, oh boy, you're going to be binging like the happiest. Hold on, bear with me, hold on, yeah, well, hello there, post-credits traveler, yeah, I'm a bit flustered, again, I'm back off the bike, and My mouth is frozen as well as my feet. But I will struggle on. I will struggle on. Welcome yet again. Da-da-da-da-da. And I was cycling around the park. And I'm not going to lie, I was like, what am I going to talk about? What am I going to talk about? And funnily enough, as I was driving via the park, there was kind of woods in the park. Anyway, I decided that this week we'll play a game of Two Roads Diverge in a Wood. And Apple took the most expensive, regrettable one. You see, about 10 years ago, as Apple was first considering a streaming service, they had an idea. If we are going to launch a competitive streamer, we need to inherit, buy, or at least start off with an existing impressive library that would, you know, draw the customers in. Makes sense. Their biggest acquisition to date at that time was when they bought Beats Music and Electronics for $3 billion. But this was a kind of a big Hollywood encroaching thing, and being fans of highbrow prestige TV, it was going to be a bit more expensive. And the obvious choice was, yes, HBO. Warner Brothers had been struggling financially for many years, and it was felt that, yeah, HBO could be up for grabs. Folks would bail in immediately. The successful and celebrated HBO library would be theirs, and their streaming audience would surely jump as quickly as their new shows turning up on Apple TV+. So, yeah, all good. However, for whatever reason, Apple decided against the purchase, which would have been done at a pretty reasonable price at the time, billions. I'd say 20, 30 billion. You know, not cheap, but still. However, they decided and believed that we don't need a library or HBO, and instead we will make our own prestige highbrow shows that will draw the masses. They'll draw the masses. On the creation of worthy shows front, I suppose, they have definitely succeeded. They are now the home for top-notch adult sci-fi shows like For All Mankind, Silo, Foundation and Severance, along with award-winning shows like Ted Lasso, Slow Horses, and bizarrely, it wins awards, The Morning Show, very expensive though, and other things like Bad Sisters and Hijack. But, as was recently revealed, all of these shows have cost them over $20 billion for the last number of years. $20 billion! Sure, they could have bought HBO back in the day. But more importantly, surely, with all those successes and all that highbrow stuff, they've got a great share in the streaming market. Oh! Well, according to Just Watch, a great website or app if you're looking to figure out where something is streaming, their study of the US market alone, the market share rankings look like this. At the top is Amazon Prime Video with 22%. You could argue that's a bit fake, because basically if you have Amazon Prime to get your toilet roll delivered next day or same day, you get Prime Video. So that's a bit sketchy, but still, that's at the top. Then you have Netflix, 21%. Max, which is obviously HBO Max, but does not include the terrestrial HBO, but it's on there. But anyway, so Max is HBO Max at 13%. Disney Plus, 12%. Hulu, 10%. So you can add Disney Plus and Hulu together to get 22%, which is quite impressive. Paramount Plus has been growing nicely. It's now at 9%. Apple TV Plus is 8%. And Peacock, bless its cotton socks, 1%. Others account for, like Shudder and other things, account for 4%. But for all its spending, all its bajillions, Apple TV basically comes in second from bottom. Not a good look. And a lot of those folks, like Amazon, have Apple free due to owning an Apple device or some sort. Some of them don't even know they have Apple TV. You know where I stand here. I love Apple TV+. However, if I did a random spot check of 20 mates who love streaming and TV, less than half would actually have Apple TV. And now and then they'll jump in and out when they see. So when Bad Sisters is all up, they might jump in for a month and then jump out. But that's, you know, that's the way it is. That's, as we've spoken about before, that's how people operate. So a lot of that $20 billion could have paid for HBO all those years ago, and we would be through a very different sliding door and possibly discussing how impressive and successful Apple and their shows are, rather than how they are now committed to cutting the costs on both TV and movies. But the really funny thing is, looking ahead to possibly 2026, and with Warner Brothers Discovery still in all that debt, yes, Apple, the word is that they may come back to the table and say, you know what, let's be a player. Here's somewhere between 70 to 100 billion and welcome to the fold, HBO. And you know what, I guarantee then, yes, the percentage of mates with Apple TV Plus would jump exponentially, as with most streaming folks. And isn't that what Apple wants? Just to be loved more than Jeff Bezos. Anyway, there you go. Probably not the chat you expected. But you know me, I do love my business side of things. And with that, it feels quite appropriate for Malahide Bound Charlie XCX with her wonderful song Apple. I do not know the dance moves yet. I fear I may have to learn them just in case I turn up on the big screen. Charlie, yeah, send us off into the ether. Good times, good times.